Ich bin schon von Kronstadt, ich bin schon von Kronstadt, ja, bei Reichen, Heidlöcken. Just waiting for the MEC for Free State. Well, members, you must note your questions and a friendly request that you be short in your questions because we'll have to adjourn at 1:30 at the latest 20 to 2. I just went to look for the MEC for Free State. Are there any members from the provincial legislature here except for the two MECs that we didn't note? No. Okay. No, I'm just checking that I don't make a mistake. Councillors are here from Salga. Yes, I welcome them in the beginning. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for respecting the time. Uber MEC, Rockman, you are new in the position as MEC for Finance in the Free State. Your document is 50 pages, but we will definitely give you the 30 minutes allocated on the program. So please try and do your presentation within that framework, in that time framework. Over to you. Yeah, I'll speak to the issues as the older MEC for Northwest. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to go into word by word on the slide.
Yeah.
I will speak to the different aspects.
Yeah.
And thanks to my colleague in Northwest, I'm now duly intimidated, so I'll do the presentation myself. I think more importantly, as you said, I am new in the portfolio. So when it comes to the municipality specifically, we've tried to change tack because clearly there's a need to do things differently. And there has been a substantial lack of political interaction on the financial management of municipalities. So we've started a program of the MEC and the Municipal Finance Management Unit of Provincial Treasury visiting municipalities and meeting the mayors and the MMCs responsible for finance specifically to make them aware and to share the first-hand information about where we are and what the challenges are in a specific municipality and to make it clear that things have to change. We cannot have the majority of municipalities stuck forever in this climate. And whatever goes with that, the lack of consequences that has been pointed out. So there's quite a number of strategies that we have put in place. More importantly, we maintain the coordination and cooperation we have with Provincial COCTA so that we don't move into a situation where the one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. So at all times we make sure that where we go, Kokta is aware and becomes part of the bigger assistance that we are trying to do. So we actually started with the three municipalities, Machabeng, Kopanong and Mukaka, that is responsible for 55% of the total combined unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure of all municipalities in the province. And we've set up specific task teams with those three municipalities because as much as they know what they are supposed to do, they are simply not doing it. And between ourselves, Kokta, and the municipality, we are setting up these task teams to deal with the historical issues relating to those categories of expenditure as well as the ongoing categories. Then in addition, whilst we are busy with the season of IDPs and draft budgets, we've also started doing unannounced visits to some ward meetings to determine whether we are doing public participation for the sake of doing it or whether we are doing it with some other aim. So we're trying to pick up a few issues in those ward meetings and then tracking them, whether they make it into the IDP and whether they are budgeted for and whether they will actually be implemented. So those are two quite important issues relating to municipalities that we've now recently started. Also, Treasury has done the detailed evaluations of the municipal draft budgets. And in each of these meetings where we meet the mayor and the MMC, we take them through the detailed technical presentation. It's a joint session, and then I have separate meetings with the mayor or the MMC finance. And talk more through the political perspectives of what they should be doing. And then we leave the technical teams of the officials to practically assist with the challenges and shortcomings identified. Now, on Friday last week, we were in one municipality, Naledi, where we've had to ask the municipality to discontinue the process and restart because there has been no IDP or budget public participation. So it is simply a technical product. And we've spoken to Kokta, we've spoken to the Premier to say, look, it's a choice now. Either we want to tick a box for compliance sake, they can certainly approve that budget, but it's not worth the paper it's written on. So in some instances, the intervention goes as far as that. In other instances, there's really little or very minor adjustments that need to be made, and it's more of a technical nature. I think that probably in all other provinces you would find the same, that municipalities are at such varying levels of skills and competencies that some you would need the minimal assistance and others it's going to require us for the next month to be in and out and in and out and literally assisting them to get the technical work done but to also manage the political part of it and do the public participation in a constructive manner. So we've outlined the slides of the municipal budget compliance of where we are, as well as the bilaterals and support that have been given both in the 2011 and 2012-13 financial years. You'll note there NALA, and we will come back to NALA with their issues. NALA is making progress. It's not always as fast as we would probably like it to be. Decision-making seems to be a particular challenge. You know, when a municipality has the history that NALA has, and I'm sure a few others in the country have, you need to fight against the fear of decisions. It's easier not to take a decision so that you don't do anything wrong. But then also the consequences, you don't do anything at all. So that is a constant issue that needs to be managed in NALA, but there is sufficient professional support to NALA as well. I think very importantly, the community, and especially the farming community, has turned around and is beginning to support the municipality and the interventions that are being put in place there, and that is very positive. Obviously, that will directly have an impact on the revenue the municipality is able to create. I mean, through more than a year and a half, the municipality was just not able to bill. And the intervention required there was literally as practical as, can someone make sure that there's paper to print the accounts? It went to that level. So at least we've moved back. We've moved far beyond that. They are billing. They are getting revenue. Slowly, but it will pick up. So overall with NALA, I think there's a more positive outlook than in some of the other municipalities. We were in Pumalela on Thursday last week, and I think we are hopeful that Pumalela might move from disclaimer to qualified, with a bit of luck, even to unqualified. The National Treasury's advisor is there. We also interact with them and get an independent view from the advisors deployed by National Treasury. And they are quite supportive, and they were satisfied with the progress made by Pumalela. So I think Pumalela is one of those municipalities we are watching with hope, and we will be giving some additional assistance. The reality of Pumalela, however, is there's an MM and nothing else. There is no CFO, there's no Section 56 manager. But if they can achieve the improvement without that capacity, they are clearly on the right track. They've advertised their posts, but it is a process now of filling. But it's not like it's been like that for a month. It's been like that for the past few months. It's challenges. I can see the members' eyes are surprised. But it's difficult. It's a challenge to find people who wants to go and work in Vrede. That is the reality of many of our predominantly rural provinces. Northwest would have the challenge, we have the challenge, Northern Cape would have the challenge, Eastern Cape. That is another factor that you consistently contend with. And even if you find someone, they are not prepared to stay and make it a long-term career. They want to establish themselves and move on.
And the doctor wants to go to Garish.
Exactly. Mafubi, Ngwati and Naledi were our other municipal focus areas. We visited Ngwati, I think it was Tuesday last week, and it's a very different set of challenges. At least the management is now in place. There is a CFO. He is from the private sector. But what we have asked is for... We've identified two CFOs who's now in provincial government who comes from the municipal environment to work with him as peers. And we literally had to take him aside and say, Chief, look, we're not undermining your capacity. We're just making you aware that no municipality is easy to run. Work with these people as your peers. Use them as your sounding board instead of your junior officials. Because there's so much internal politics in municipalities that the management also get caught up in that, and especially someone from the private sector who doesn't have a sense of that politics. With Ngwati, they've asked us for specific assistance on the property valuation and rates, so we will be working with them specifically on that in addition to the other areas that we are dealing with. Sorry, I've already spoken to Naledi. Training, we have been consistently dealing with training with the assistance of COCTA, SALGA, the AG's office. Everyone is on board. I think we note the comments that have been made about the value for money that we receive out of this training. We do have a specific challenge around the bulk service providers, Eskom, Sedibeng Water and Bloem Water. But there is a dispute resolution committee in place that meets regularly and assists the municipalities with regard to specifically arrear accounts. A lot of those disputes relate to disputes about water losses when it comes to Sedibeng and Bloem Water, and even with Centlec and Eskom. There are issues relating to probably the quality of the network. If you can lose electricity, they lose electricity before it reaches a specific area. So COCTA is driving that process, and I think it works quite well. I think we've managed to take out a lot of the animosity that used to come up between the municipalities and the bulk service providers. On municipal compliance and supply chain management support, that's page 8, we've detailed all the interventions and assistance that as provincial treasury we have put in place. We've launched the provincial supplier database in Gariep last year, and that will be rolled out to other districts. And mostly that relates to assisting the municipalities to get in place a credible database of suppliers. You would have instances, for example, that it's difficult to find a supplier in Ruvel of anything. So they are limited. They might get one quotation, but to get three quotations is beyond it. So if we extend the provincial database and bring on board the local suppliers onto the provincial database, we're trying to assist in that process. And we're also assisting municipalities with procurement plans to a probably lesser success rate at this stage. I think it's only Gariep District that has actually tabled a proper procurement plan for the next financial year. So we will be working with all of them on that aspect. Then compliance, we've also set out. We've supported them in terms of the minimum competency regulations. We've rolled out the city MFMA monitoring indicators. We've rolled out the revised system of MFMA delegations to 22 of the 23 municipalities. We've established the municipal intern forums. On minimum competency levels, there's 102 officials registered with SAICA, 22 have completed the models, and 93 is registered with the DBSA, and 85 registered with Fitz Business. I think on municipal revenue and debt support, I think one of the major achievements is that we are doing quite well in reducing intergovernmental debt. And since the establishment of that committee, the Intergovernmental Debt Steering Committee, we've reduced debt by plus minus 60%. And all municipalities are supported by this committee. Then there's a whole process of establishing revenue committees that focuses on household and business debt, and we're also looking at the evaluation of policies. Then one of the issues that I specifically ask of the mayors is to clean up their indigent registers. You do find that there are councillors on indigent registers and even municipal employees, and we've asked the mayors to take personal responsibility to ensure the cleanup of those registers. And we will be providing each municipality with a database of provincial government employees in a specific municipal area, so that we also take out the provincial government employees. Those would be like your teachers, your policemen, and so on, health workers, just to clean up indigenous registers as well. Then on the following slides, we set out the status of municipal risk and internal audit, the units and the committees. I think there was a question specifically relating to the internal audit units and committees. So they are set out there on pages 13, 14, and 15 per district. I think we do have a lot of work to do on the risk management. Our municipalities are particularly challenged with regard to setting up both risk management units or offices at least, as well as the risk management committees. Then on municipal accounting services, we've set out the details of specific support rendered to Masilunyana, Macha Beng Naledi, Mokari, Kopanung, Mafubi Ngwati, Pumalela, and Setsoto. And then other support to other municipalities included the GRAB training compilation of the annual report, audit technical steering committee meetings, and the PROPAC resolution implementation. And then we come to the popular category on page 20 of unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. And there we basically set up what I spoke about in the introduction, where we deal with the prior year matters and the task teams that we are putting together. And the aim of the prior year matters is that these reports must get to councils by the 30th of June. It has to be cleared out in the current financial year. We can't just keep on increasing and increasing this category of expenditure. Sooner or later, it needs to be dealt with. So what can be condoned should be condoned, and what cannot be condoned must then be dealt with either through disciplinary processes or recovery processes or whatever those investigations will recommend. And the same would then apply to the current year supply chain management matters. The bottom slide on page 21 just sets out the contribution of Machabeng, Mukaka and Kopanong to the total combined unauthorized irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Then the support provided at Nala Municipality, their treasury and COCTA intervened as a result of the historical matters. And I think it was indicated also in the Auditor General's presentation. The progress made with submitting the annual financial statements, and there's one set of annual financial statements that is still outstanding. I think it's due soon, to be submitted finally for audit purposes. And then hopefully NALA will be up to date. I don't expect there to be any other outcome than a disclaimer, given the history of the municipality, the lack of supporting documents, and whatever has happened. But hopefully once we get them up to date and clear out the backlog, they will be able to start on a relatively clean slate moving forward. I think the next part of the presentation focused more on the work of COCTA. Page 24, it starts out by setting out the progress of the Municipal Public Accounts Committees, which is a bit controversial and problematic or challenging as such. Throughout, municipalities are raising it as a specific issue, the fact that the impacts are not legislated. It remains a challenge. It remains a challenge in terms of when the council is supposed to appoint a council committee to deal with irregular expenditure. In some municipalities, that has gone to MPAC, and those same MPAC members are not capacitated to deal with it. So there is a significant amount of work that has to be done around the impacts. But there is a schedule in place for training that will roll out during June, where the AGSA, COCTA, SALGA, Treasury and APAC will be involved in workshops with all committees throughout June to the beginning of July. And the workshop will focus on the role of SALGA, the role of strategic partners, including the Auditor General, the mandate, role and functions of MPAC, understanding the MFMA governance structures, the use of the annual report, MPAC oversight functions, and how to write the MPAC report and resolutions. So that process is in place, so we will hopefully be able to deal with many of the more practical challenges during June when it relates to that. With regard to the management support program, there are agreements concluded with individuals and service providers to be deployed to selected municipalities to strengthen and expand capacity towards achieving and maintaining clean audits. And those municipalities at this stage include Nala, Machabeng, Naledi, Mokari, and Sitsoto. The achievements are listed for Nala as the rear financial statements for 2019-10-11 have been completed and they're audited. 11-12 compilation is about 75% complete. There is a stable financial management system implemented at this stage. The 20-month arrear billing is resolved. The 60 million arrears identified for collections from the business community have been identified and negotiations with some have been completed. There are a number of agreements with service providers that have been cancelled. There is now a functional organigram for the municipality. The placement of staff is underway. And the KPMG forensic report was implemented with COPTA support and discussions with the public protector. Maybe I can just mention there, I'm sure the committee should know, that in February, it comes out of the forensic report. The former CFO of NALA was convicted for fraud by the Botawil Regional Court. That matter is concluded and sentenced to 15 years. Then, with regard to Mulkari, following some civil unrest, there had to be a more detailed support program designed and implemented, and it related to quite a number of issues relating to service delivery. Specifically, water is a major issue throughout Garib, and it's no surprise that Mulkari is affected there. We've also implemented a common management strategy or assisted the municipality, as well as with the debt collection policy. And we've supported them throughout the MFMA audit process. I would want to come back to the issue regarding Centlink at some later stage. There are outstanding matters relating to forensic investigations in Mulkari that we will be following up. There's also an outstanding matter in Kopanong that comes from 2008 with the SIU that for some reason could not be brought to conclusion. And after our meeting with Kopanong, the mayor asked that we also intervene, and we did have a meeting with the SIU and requested that they finalize this matter now by the 30th of June. It's come through a number of years, and you can't really get a sense of why it's not completed, except that it's not completed. So hopefully we will bring that finally to an end as well. Then with regard to Machabeng, there is a process undertaken to review and curtail unnecessary expenditure. There is also an ongoing process to review and terminate services of service providers that are either not yielding positive results or are not in the interest of council. There were a number of cases where the municipality litigated in or were litigated against, that we have brought in council's attorneys together with state law advisors and the specific service individuals contracted to support Machabeng is also comes from a strong legal background. And they've been dealing with those matters to clear them out as far as possible. Part of that is that we have been able to fast-track the payment of outstanding insurance claims, which has come for a number of years. There are still challenges relating to the project management unit of Machabeng, and that is currently under investigation. But we did have a very good session for councillors on corporate management and ethics that were very well attended. Then we've implemented Caseway in a number of municipalities, and the project has yielded a measure of success in improving the quality of annual financial statements. We've concluded the training and implementation for provincial entities during the period May 3 to 18 May 2012, as well as for municipalities late May to early June 2012. We're aware of the number of concerns raised by the use of consultants when it comes to the compilation of annual financial statements. And in our interaction with the municipalities, we have said, let us take a step back and make sure that these consultants also understand, one, what are the expectations. So on Monday next week, we are having a session with all municipalities and all the appointed consultants where we are going to put down the benchmark to say, this is what we expect. If you come back, if our annual financial statements come back and it is the same issues from previous years, we are going to have a problem. And we will have to talk to the money spent on this. So we want to make very sure everyone is on the same page. We've also been consistently asking municipalities not to abandon responsibility when it comes to both the compilation of the annual financial statements as well as driving the audit process. Because in many instances, municipalities stand back and make it a consultant's problem, and it just never works. It's a recipe for disaster. Because ultimately, the consultants gets paid, whether the outcome of the audit is an unqualified report or a disclaimer. It's not really their problem. So that is a specific target area that we've also been looking at. Then we've set out the EMISA project support, that's on pages 28 and 29, as well as other specific support that we've provided to municipalities during the IDP processes. As well as financial assistance provided by COGTA, specifically to Gariep District, Kopanong, Naledi, Mokari, Letsemeng, Setsoto, and Nala. I'll skip the audit outcomes, seeing that the AG has already so kindly dealt with them. The property rights process is set out. I'm sure the committee can look at that when it has time to do so in more detail. We've outlined the MIG expenditure, and there are a few concerns with current municipalities, specifically Letsemeng, Naledi, Mwati, Nkitwana, and Setsoto on spending. And then the last few slides just relate to the progress with regard to the implementation of the forensic report of NALA, and I've already mentioned the one aspect relating to the criminal case that's been concluded, as well as Machabeng. Both the first Ramati Fibers forensic report, as well as the Section 106, the Silicization Commission report. Now, this is a specific area that I will be interacting further directly with the mayor on, to ensure that we are able to get to a point that we make concrete progress to bring this Machabeng matter to a close. I can stop there, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you to both MECs for your presentations. And it's very substantive, the information that's in the presentation. Just referring to NALA, was Section 2162 of the Constitution was invoked in NALA in the Free State. What is the present situation? Because there were certain decisions taken about NALA. If you comply to 1234, we will release your funds and be transferred to the municipality. So just in, where are we there? Referring to consultants, and I speak of my own municipality that went through that exercise, as my provincial HOD, Mr. Mokoku, that when a consultant is deployed to a municipality or appointed, the accountant general must take note of that. And there must be a circular or a letter or a memo going to Mr. Nomvalo as the accountant general at National Treasury. So we would like to hear from Treasury, Mr. Nomvalo is not here. Does that happen? Because in the case of my municipality, one set of consultants were deployed, they were taken away, a new team came in, but Pretoria were not notified, and it was a hell of a mess, referring to the submission of AFS. So that's a point that we must also zoom in. We note the presence of Mr. Plaikie. Mr. Plaikie is the representative here from the Minister for Finance from that office, welcome. And then also Mr. Kobus Botus from the National AG's office. Welcome, Mr. Botus. Honourable members, questions. Please be short. We're taking both provinces, both MECs. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Start there with Honourable Mandela.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to find out from both MECs, having this type of picture of the disclaimer and the period of years here, I can read here, as shown above, the majority of these municipalities have been on disclaimer for the past 6 years. What are those efforts which are going to put in order to rectify this situation? Since the 2014, this clean audit is just negligible. 2014 is not in the corner. How will you do it? I was listening when you are briefing us. It's only a promise, but how you are going to implement this, it was lacking. Okay. Let me start with Northwest. I'm seeing here on your page 9, Director Corporate, he said experience of local government is 8 years and with a bachelor degree. Is that degree relevant to the job? It can be a bachelor degree. Is it relevant to the job? Very quickly, on page 19, you enumerated all the challenges here, about 5 bullets. Since you have identified these challenges, what is the strategies you are going to implement in order to eliminate this kind of situation? Your page 21, Northwest, you said, due to the Northwest Provincial Municipality's history on non-submission, how do you allow the situation to be recorded as a history? It means it was a continuous thing until it formed up a history. You should have seen this thing long ago and tried to cut so that it wasn't been termed a history of non-submission. You have said you appointed the panel of 15 service providers to assist in the preparation of annual or a month statement. How much did you pay for this panel? Okay, I'll finish with also. Let me get quickly to Free State. I'm seeing here on your slide number 97, 50 vacancy rate, an even spread of capacity. You are saying here, high turnover rate at the senior management level with a slow replacement rate. At critical position of chief man vacant for 5 years, but you are saying, except briefly filled by irregular appointment. What do you mean? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I, the report that I received as a member prior to this meeting very much in detail, but it refers to observations or findings and then, of course, recommendations. Now, I accept that the report given here is part of that recommendation. I think our committee must perhaps look at whether all the recommendations have been applied to. I think that's what we need to do. In particular, a point that I wanted to raise that it was raised, I think, by the acting MEC of Northwest about the forensic investigations and suspension of maybe staff or management managers and CFO. I think we need more detail of the numbers and how many has been dealt with and completed a particular, because that is the leadership or maybe the crux of the matter for me that needs to be dealt with. I also take it that this report that we received was as a result of the task team that was established, which I can see from the Free State, particularly clearly. And I think, Honourable Chair, there is good to see the progress, but I think the status of the municipality in terms of our legislation framework that guides us, I think there still needs a lot of work needs to be done still. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, Mr. Chair, unless all of us in municipalities understand that financial management is not only for CFOs and MMC, I'm saying this in appreciating in the report of the Free State, the Project Political Oversight Committee, that is there. It consists of the MEC for Finance, the mayors, the speakers, the chairperson of MPAT, of identified municipality. However, I want to recommend that they also include chief whips and MMC for finance. I think I like this, given the fact that all the reports, the audit reports, are saying there are issues with leadership, there are issues with governance. I think they will tease these issues because the audit team was raising that they sit with CFOs and they raise issues, findings, but however, the audit queries, they repeat themselves in the following years. So why? It means people know. It's not that people don't know. It means people know, but there are other factors and other challenges. So we need to probe. So the teams like this, if they can be copied and become a best practice even in other municipalities, so that they can monitor these issues and monitor. It must not just meetings. It must be programmatic meetings to see progress, to see performance. So that I'm hopeful that if these can be used effectively, we can see changes in future financial reports. I also like the Free State approach, the MEC's approach of being hands-on on municipalities, visiting them sometimes unannounced. I think issues like those, you can see improvement. Otherwise, the picture is bad. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Chairman, let me start by apologizing to the AG's office for asking irrelevant questions to them, which should have been addressed to National Treasury in particular. So I'm still looking forward to National Treasury responding to the legality of Provincial Treasury providing financial support to municipalities. But my apologies to the AG on that one. And thank you to the MECs for their detailed presentation. Mr. Chairman, the question of interesting one. On page 5 of the Northwest presentation, there's a remark that the Premier's office paid $16 million for Eskom. How is this done? I mean, is this in terms of an adjusted budget? Is the Premier's office budget so large it can afford to pay $16 million and continue to operate? I'm curious that the Premier's office is able to pay so much money, and how it was dealt with in the accounts. With regard to Matsulan, the intervention has that actually. I wasn't sure because what's written here sounds like it's going to happen, but you seem to indicate that it had happened. So if you could just confirm whether it's going to or is yet to happen, and if whether the section 1392 has been met and the NCOP has been informed within 14 days. Mr. Chairman, Free State, whilst the MEC might be new, she takes on all responsibility, past, present and future. And can she then please give this committee this private Lasela fund? What private monies go into it? Who administers it? Is it administered outside of the province? In which case, then I'll stop asking questions about it if it's got nothing. But if there's any connection to the province or any department of the province, can I please have details of what funds go into it, who administers it, who picks up the costs of the administration, what is the purpose of the fund? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Chairperson. Of course, it's just riding on Honorable Lee's question. If state officials are used to manage private funds, then it's supposed to attract scrutiny on that Lasela fund, unless otherwise it is managed and operated by private people outside. If it is managed by public officials, then it's supposed to attract scrutiny, because then there is the use of public resources to manage a private fund. Therefore, I think that is what needs to happen. Chair, I think from Northwest, I think from the Auditor General, we have heard that no matter you can have capable municipal managers, CFOs, probably as well with Section 57 managers that are well-versed, but if you have the support staff underneath being mediocre, then it is difficult for them to produce anything. Now, the question, of course, now is that how do we then deal also with rank-and-file officials in the state institution to ensure that whatever goes on through their hands to the upper senior managers, it is proper for them to be able to produce the correct picture of the state of affairs of the institution. How are we going to do that? And also the 15 service providers that we're talking about, is it also part of the assignment to actually evaluate the incumbents, whether they are also suitable for the position that they are holding? They may be assisting the municipality to get their books right, but, I mean, if you have a head of technical who is actually not even appropriate, and then surely when those service providers disappears, everything falls back. And whether it is, it's also the checking the appropriateness of those specific officials being correct, some of their assignment. And I'm not sure when I heard the report from Northwest, I can deduce that we are not looking for clean audit in 2014. And we are expecting clean audit somewhere after 2014, unless if maybe I've not read it correctly. And now I'll just ask this particular question if I'm wrong, whether is clean audit in Northwest achievable? We heard that there is resistance where you need to put a team of administrators in municipalities that require Section 139. Now, who is resisting? Is it administration or is it the politicians? If we can just have a little bit of clarity on that one. And then with Free State, Free State, I think they are deploying quite a good number of officials from the provincial treasury. Are these officials accepted and supported in those relevant municipalities. Do we really have anything to check that they are being accepted and being supported? Because sometimes your officials may deploy to a particular municipality and would not like to say no, they are actually sidelining me. Otherwise, then you will withdraw the official back, and then we'll just simply misrepresent the correct situation and just say, no, everything is fine, whereas nothing is fine. Do we have anything to actually verify that they are being accepted and being supported so that they are able to achieve their mandate within the shortest space of time? And then the issue of councillors and officials being on the indigent register, MEC, you are not talking about recouping the resources from them. Because surely for them to appear on the indigent register, that means they are not paying their service charges. And therefore, then these people, they are actually owing. And then there is fraud incorporated in that, which means that the legal steps must be taken. Then there is disciplinary issues when it comes to public servants. And you have not actually talked to all these three. Trying to get your money back, taking them to disciplinary, and also taking them to on legal action. We're not hearing anything. Chairperson, I think in the past session we talked about the internal audit on the assurance picture being in the second phase. And luckily I had an engagement with the gentleman from the Auditor General, and I really tried to explain why I believed that the internal audit must be on the first phase, because they are responsible also to ensure that the internal controls that produces these reports are correct. They are supposed to test internal controls in the municipality or any institution continuously and advise management. Therefore, they are actually part of the management, and hence they cannot be put in the second phase. That is my belief and that is my understanding, and I hope that if the Auditor General looks at the relevant duties of the internal audit, and then on Section 165 of the MFMA, they will realize that those people, they are actually responsible for the products even that comes out there. And therefore, they can be put together with the audit committee. And I still maintain, and then until I'm proved sometimes later on. And then Free State, the last issue, Chairperson. Very interesting. The MEC indicates that they had a session with the councillors on corporate management and ethics, and then say that session was well received. I'm interested to know what informs the statement that says that session was well received. What informs that one? Because, Chair, all of us, we know we are called to workshops and the rest, and then some of us, when we are there at the workshop, we spend more than half of the time outside phoning and on the balconies. And again, is that this particular session, like as you have indicated right at the beginning, if there was no test or nothing that was done, I've got a problem with well-received. What informs well-received? Yeah, thanks, Chairperson.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, thanks to the MECs for the report. I've got quite a number of questions. Let me start with Free State, Chair. Chair, the report is quite detailed, although it's more on self-reporting on progress with regard to the forensic investigations of Nala and Machabe, and issues relating to the evaluation reports, hearings and appeals and the likes. But my concern is that the report does not specifically respond directly to the recommendations of the committee as was adopted by Parliament.
more like in the lines of what North West have done. So I'm not sure what the comment of the MEC will be, because as at this time, one would assume that the province has not responded or given us progress reports specifically to those recommendations of the report of this committee. If so, I would want to know what are the challenges. Two, Chair, the report also contains a number of interventions, but almost 80% to 90. It's more of many meetings that the department has with these municipalities. But it does not tell us what are the outcome, because we are more interested on the outcome of your interventions. One sees a lot of many meetings, both by provincial treasury and by the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. But we are not told of the impact of such meetings, such that one is not able to determine as whether there's value for money insofar as those meetings are concerned, or what is the situation. Again, Chair, if you go to slide 59, I think, you find a situation again where the Department of Cooperative Governance making lot of financial interventions in trying to assist those particular municipalities. This was the case even 2 years when we were there, where millions and millions get transferred from the department to municipalities for various things. At least here you mentioned 7 municipalities to the tune of something in the region of 30 million. I'm interested to know as to how are such transfers done? Are they approved? And what is the status of such kind of assistance? I know in certain instances you will second somebody to the department and quantify whatever financial value of such intervention and say this is what you did. But others is just outright transfers where, like, you gave one municipality 10 million to cover for their budget deficit. Instead of helping them to live within their means, you are actually encouraging them, because you'll always bail them out. That is a bailout. You Kopanong municipality, compilation of their financial statements, 2 million, almost 3 million paid, and so on and so on. So, and if you look at those municipalities where there's a lot of cash injections, only 2 have improved. The rest remain the same, insofar as audits are concerned. So, in a way, it becomes sort of wasteful, in the sense that there's no improvement, but what one would want to understand, how are these things done? Is there any some approval of something, and whether are just out of the good heart of the MEC just to give and continue giving? Because it's becoming perpetual in Free State that municipalities get that money. Very generous. And it's even worse if you are to, you've seen the hands-on support that you are providing in almost all those municipalities. I'm not sure, if you check all those municipalities, where almost all of them, there's hands-on support from the department. Trying to put that on operations, I'm imagining, if all your staff are down there in those municipalities, who is left at your offices to run? What would be termed your mandate now as a department? Because everybody seems to be down there doing this hands-on kind of thing. I assume you're referring to physical presence of your staff to assist those particular municipalities. Nala, Che, the department shows that there were some timelines to assist them to complete their financial statements, but we are told that to date such are still outstanding. Now, it will then suggest that the set dates in terms of your intervention could not be met. Can we get the reasons as to why and what are the challenges? Circular 27 that the provincial treasury issued when was it issued, that circular 27, and what was the response today? Can you give us a picture? The province is still in the process of establishing a committee that will, amongst others, investigate reasons for this escalating irregular expenditure, wasteful and fruitless expenditure. Yet if you look into the three-year period, you could see that it has gradually been going up. Now, only now that it has gone beyond the 1 billion mark, you have still not have done anything. You are still in the process of establishing a committee in terms of your report. I don't know if it's been established yet, but the report says you are still in the process. Isn't it worrying that your municipalities are now spending and spending, and it's more than 55% accounts to 4 municipalities, if not 5. And those that are continuously giving bad results, the Matabeng of this world, the Kopanong, and everybody. Why now target only 3 and isolate the rest of those that form part of this 1.1 billion of irregular expenditure, fruitless, and all those things? And what is the delay in terms of you? Because I would imagine you're supposed to have long time ago investigated and arrested the problem, even before they reach a half a billion mark. But you allowed it, and I'm saying this, MEC, mindful of the fact that you are new as an MEC, but you are not new in the administration of that government, unfortunately. So what is it that the government is delaying to investigate all this? Because even as we speak now, you're still in the process of, we are not even sure that that will see the light of the day. And Chair, for the sake of time, the rest of the others remain just information without giving us details that would be helpful for this meeting, because even through those meetings, the report will say investigations were done and reported to the municipality, and it ends there. We remain in the dark as to what were your findings and all those things. But the last point I'm interested to know, one of the recommendations was that the government, through the office of the premier, should, amongst others, ensure that those municipalities that spend millions and millions on forensic investigations, such reports are made available and action is taken. So far, I've seen that there is some reporting on the Matabeng, but concentration is given on Nala in terms of progress that is happening there, and we are following on that. But the Matabeng one, also in terms of this report, there's no reported implementation progress. It remains being a program, a report that was done, and we are not being told of anything that is happening to implement that, including all other municipalities. If the MEC can tell us, what is the challenge with regard to taking Matabeng head on insofar as their issues are concerned? Because they are the worst performing municipality in the Free State, in my view. And everybody seems to be afraid to touch Matabeng. What is the problem with Matabeng? Can we be told now? On Northwest Chair, I think I had 2 questions. Not that it's my province, then I've got 2 questions. Because they almost satisfy the requirements of what you wanted. So otherwise, I would still have a lot of questions. The MEC, in terms of Gauteng, with regard to the issues of ratepayers association, and I think we've coupled that with Mamusa, your report only says it has been dealt by the courts. We don't know how it was concluded, but it is concluded. Can you share with us as to what is the end result of the issue of ratepayers association and the situations relating to that? And the last question would be, in light of the provincial ESCO's decision now to place the three municipalities under Section 139, you have told us that in Makwasi Hills, although there was resistance, but the administrators are there. What will be the impact of their presence there on the interventions, particularly on the kind of interventions that your department is doing to assist that particular municipality, particularly around their financial annual financial statement? And with regard to the Tsobotla and Matosana, you mentioned that there are political challenges and all those things, such that there is resistance insofar as the Section 139B is concerned. And one would assume that there's nothing happening ever since those municipalities were put under Section 139, meaning the administrators have not resumed their responsibility. And one would imagine that they have been appointed. So my question is, what is the status of those interventions as we speak now? And if administrators have been appointed and they are not able to do, perform their duties in those municipalities, what will be the status of their appointment and financially, of course, and how long is this situation going to be allowed, this situation of resistance going to be allowed to run? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. We are definitely now pressed for time, but we're going to give the health MECs each 10 minutes to respond. I will request the Free State to reconfigure their reply in terms of the response to the recommendations in our committee reports, like the Northwest has done, just to assist us and the staff when compiling our report, and if we can have that on Friday morning, because it's on your system, you must just do the reconfiguration. That will assist us. Over to you, MEC Northwest, and then the Free State. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chen. The issue around disclaimers. What efforts are we taking to deal with that situation? I think we have tried to answer it. One of the main reasons for this claim, obviously, is in a situation where Ms. Pazzi did not submit annual financial statements or there were no documentations. So we have then tried to address that issue by ensuring that all municipalities have now submitted their annual financial statement. They've got an opening and closing balance in terms of their financial affairs. So on that basis, on its own, is the basis to help us going forward in addressing whatever other issues that have been raised. I've also explained that we are trying to clean up all the audit queries in terms of the action plan that we've already put in place in all the municipalities. So we hope somehow there is no possibility that we can still get a disclaimer on the basis at least of the information being available and the quality thereof. The strategy to deal with the challenges, as alluded on page 9, you will see that in terms of page 9, there are issues around governance issues that we said are challenges. What we have done, we've got an engagement session with municipality called district engagement sessions. We've clustered our municipalities in the four regions into districts where we meet with them on a regular basis, including the speakers, the MMCs, and deal with all critical issues with the municipality as part of the ways and means of dealing with governance issues. Secondly, as it relates to non-compliance issues, we've got continuous monitoring that we also have put in place. There's technical committee that we've also established who actually visit municipality
we have resolved that this engagement will be on a monthly basis, where we point out issues. We've also gone to an extent of establishing possible workshops that need to be, you know, where municipality needs to be taken through and so on. The issue of the escalating levels of uncollected debt, I think we've also tried to explain this, that we have put in place the revenue enhancement strategy. We've targeted specific municipalities. I can also report that there's already improvement. If you recall, Mafike and Luka municipality on its own could not survive as a municipality in the past. As we speak right now, there's an improvement in terms of its collection rate. The same thing applies to Naledi local municipality as a result of this intervention. That also includes your Swahili municipalities and so forth, the same way of trying to address this this issue of the general challenges that we are experiencing in the province. The issue of history, unfortunately, we cannot run away from the fact that, of course, we may not have done enough in the past. That obviously built up, which ultimately resulted into a history. But we've dealt with that history. We've also set the history in the Northwest that last year we have now submitted. So that also is part of the history that reverses the previous history, which was very negative. The 15 service providers, to date, it has cost us 13 million. And I'm saying we have appointed them since last year, March, to date. They were first focusing on assisting on the annual financial statement, and further than that, they also assisted in terms of cleaning up the audit queries and so forth. To date, as a provincial government, they've cost us around 13 million, as against their account of 31 million, which they spent in trying to address similar issues without sufficient progress. Here we were specific when we deal with the issue of the forensic investigation of Makwasi Hills. But we take note that there is an interest, of course, of the committee to also look at other forensic investigations that have been completed. You would know that there was an investigation that was initially undertaken that involved the SIU. I can say that to a particular degree we have been able to deal with some of the issues as and when they were raised by the SIU, but overall, we are still awaiting the final report of the SIU in order to ensure that if there are issues that need to be followed up, we would have to do so. But as it raised Makwasi Hills on the forensic investigation, it's one of the main causes that led us to invoke the Section 139, because there was a reluctance from council to implement the recommendations of the forensic investigation in the municipality. Already as we speak, as soon as we had appointed the administrators, there was a clear brief that we gave to them to focus on, to deal with the Auditor General's report, to ensure implementation of the forensic investigation. We've also developed a recovery plan for that municipality because their financial situations were in serious crisis. So we will be monitoring. We have resolved that we'll be meeting with the administrators on a fortnight basis just to report on ensuring that there's implementation on the issues that led to the intervention. The Premier's office, the 13 million, was obviously sourced from the discretionary fund of the Premier. But you would appreciate, obviously there might be a lot of questions why we had to take money from provincial government. We had reached a stage where all processes were exhausted by ESCOM, and the final notice was issued. So we had to look at the implications, the hospitals and other related critical services that were going to be seriously affected. So on that basis, we had to measure the two. And it was in that context, of course, that we had no other option but to make a commitment, because that's basically what was expected from ESCOM. Whether the interventions have been implemented or is going to be implemented, like I said, these implementations we have already resolved for the invocation of the Section 139 in the three municipalities. We have already implemented in Makwasi Hills. We received legal letters from Matasan and so forth. It's a matter between our legal team and theirs, where they are arguing our processes. And the same thing applies to Ditsobota. To start with, Ditsobota even refused just the provincial government to conduct an assessment based on the complaints and queries that we had received. So you can imagine, we are dealing with these matters. When we went there, they had mobilized even public members to obstruct us. So you can imagine, they had to be removed by police and so on. So we hope somehow there will be sanity out of the state. To that effect, we have obviously complied with the process today, to the effect that we have written letters to all the stakeholders involved, the NCOP, the minister's office, the provincial committee, and so forth for briefing. And the briefing was arranged for last of last week, but then it was postponed in the last minute from the NCOP. We are waiting to meet with them as soon as they are available to brief them in terms of our process. The issues of dealing with the rank officials, the ranks officials below the senior, I think we have dealt with that matter. Even in our interactions, we've actually encouraged municipalities, because we've got our minimum competency profiles that were required in terms of the regulations. We even gave them feedback in terms of those that are not complying and what is it that was supposed to be done from the by the municipality for compliance. But we've also indicated the implication. I mean, if you look at the regulations, it is very specific. They're given a particular period. When that period comes and they've not complied, in terms of the other officials, those officials, their employment might be terminated, and they are all aware of some of the things and so forth. But we can also indicate in terms of our side in dealing with these issues. We have indicated that almost 180 municipal finance officials have attended the National Qualification Forum at Framework Level 3 in trying to up their skills in particular areas of local government accounting, and some of them graduated in 2012 through the local government seat as well as the SAICA program. Also, we've got around 111 officials who have actually been enrolled for National Qualification Level 4. They've already started in September 2012, and that training is ongoing in trying to deal with those skill shortages. There's also around 106 graduates that started the National Qualification Framework Level 6 in 2011. And some of them, obviously, they were sourced from the B2 sections of the municipality. Over and above this, we also have 22 BCom graduates whom we actually took them through a process, who were deployed in 14 municipalities in trying to beef up the financial sections of the municipalities. The 15 service providers, necessarily, we did not include them to deal with the appropriateness of the public officials in terms of the terms of reference. As such, like I said, the appropriateness of skills it's a process that is dealt with in terms of your minimum competency regulations. Their focus was on financial matters in terms of compliance, sustainability of what would have achieved, and building up on dealing with all other issues that would have been raised. Well, I said, I did raise the impression that it's as if we are not, the clean audit may not be achievable. I thought we have tried our best to indicate what we have put in place to deal with the situation. All 23 municipalities have submitted. There's no outstanding audit report. All issues raised by the Auditor General are receiving attention. But what we are saying, over and above this, that those three areas that I've actually emphasized, the issue of your deviation from supply chain, which is, you know, on an operational basis, it happens. That's what I'm saying. We must just criminalize. That's what I said to all municipalities. I said we must criminalize it, and we are serious about it. As soon as we pick it up, we'll report it to the police, because that's the only way. Otherwise, we'll speak. We are very confident about the 2040 in terms of the systems and processes that we've put in place. Hence, I'm saying there are other human factors, which I thought it will only be appropriate that we be aggressive in dealing with some of it. It does not mean that we are losing hope in terms of the 2040. We want to have these issues and to be able to separate them from the rest of the process that we are dealing with. We are still confident. We are working very hard to ensure that we achieve that. Resistance is at political level of implementation, where you instruct speakers to call special councils. These councils are not called. You go ahead, you insist to meet with them. They have already deployed people from the public to obstruct government from implementing its work. So it's that type of a situation. The issue of Caitlin Red Pairs Association, I think it's 2 weeks where we wanted the court outcome on that, and they've made a commitment to give us details in terms of the judgment. So, but we are engaging with them to that effect. I think think the issue of Mokasi Hills has responded to in terms of the impact. We are confident if the administrators are going to implement, we've got to develop a program for them, taking into consideration all issues that led to the intervention. If they are just going to implement that as is, we should be able to turn that municipality around. If they are not going to implement it, we'll remove them and put people who would be able to implement this intervention. Because sometimes we've got this problem, politicians would take a particular view, but when you send people out there, they get compromised, because they then develop friendship and so on, which then obstruct the ultimate intention of what we are trying. We are monitoring that. That's why we've resolved to have a full 14 days intervention in between, where we'll be assessing progress, because we cannot afford forever to be blamed that interventions are not working. Most municipalities hide behind the fact that interventions are not working, when in actual fact it is those officials whom we have sent to implement who at times tend to compromise the political intention as such. So we'll be monitoring this very closely and so forth. So we hope we'll be able to go somewhere on that. I have explained the Matosana and the Tsobotla issue, where there's an impression that doesn't look like there's much progress in terms of the intervention. I've explained it. I thought those are the issues that were raised that I've attempted to respond to. Thanks.
Thank you, MEC. MEC Rockman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was hoping my colleague is going to continue and take up all the time. But now he doesn't want to play anymore.
We shall share the time.
I think maybe National Treasury would rather want to speak on the issue of regarding NALA and the funds that were withheld. I think I should leave that to them. We definitely note the points to say we should extend the political oversight committee to include the Chief Whip and the MMC's finance. The MMC's finance are part of our meetings, but we haven't extended to the Chief Whip, so I think that is something that we really need to look at. The Shlasela Fund is very far from municipalities, but nevertheless, it is registered as a non-profit organization in terms of the NPO Act of 1997. Mm-hmm. And the registration of that NPO certificate was provided to the public protector already during April 2012. It is a separate NPO. It's not run in government. It does not involve public funds. I'm not going to address more of that, except to say
the Auditor General from the Free State, you brought out a report on that, if I can remember correctly. Mr. Van Niekerk was the AG then, in 2010-2011. We are dealing tomorrow with the provincial treasuries in the same room. So the Free State will have to prepare an answer to this question. We're dealing tomorrow and on the 5th of June with provincial treasuries referring spending in provinces.
So let me leave the issue of the Shlasela Fund, but the answer is not going to change.
There is no answer.
No, the answer is it is an NPO. It's a non-profit organization that closes the matter. It does not involve public funds. Well, private individuals who administers any other NPO. And as such, I don't think it's my role to talk to whichever other private individuals may want to contribute or not contribute to the fund. I contribute to the fund. If you do not contribute to the fund, that is your prerogative. With regard to...
We will go to the factual situation. The facts in front of us, and I call on the AG there to assist us. Of the Free State. Thank you.
Eric Lee. This is just a question. Because seated here, we expect relevant answers to deal with other grey areas. And anybody who's seated here, when questions are posed, It's not as if we're picking at you as an individual, but it has a bearing on the province itself.
I'm not sure if you wanted the AG to come in.
First, to complete your total reply to all questions, there will be space for stakeholders to make an input before we adjourn.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. We do not have the same problems when it comes to the acceptance and support offered by either Treasury or COGTA in municipality. There is really no political opposition. In fact, we have been... It's been enthusiastically received, whatever we have tried to do and bring the political leadership of municipalities on board. So on that one, we are also trying to avoid where you have personal interrelationship issues between officials, that where we know there might be issues, that we simply avoid that situation, and we don't try to force people to work together in a team that does not work. So that is our situation there is completely unlike that of Northwest. I think on the indigent register, the Honourable Member raised the question of that is not only the issue of removal but also recouping, and certainly that is another aspect that we will look at, but the important part to start with now is the identification of either councillors or officials who are on indigent registers, and then to deal with the process from there. I think the issue, because of our many of the interventions are new at a political level, whilst others have been ongoing throughout the past financial year, it does become an issue that will, the effect thereof will probably be seen in the audit outcomes of the current financial year, of the 2012-13 financial year. With regard to the financial support provided by COGTA, it's taken up in COGTA's budget and it's gazetted. I think that that has been a question that has been there in the past as well. We decided to start with Machabeng, Kopanong and Mukaka with a specific issue regarding the irregular, unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful, exactly because they contribute 55% to the total combined provincial irregular unauthorized category expenditure of the combined municipalities. So to us that was logical, and out of that 55%, 45% is attributable to Machabeng. So that is why we prioritize those three committees. I would not be able to say why Treasury or COGTA has not had previous specific interventions focusing on that, except that it remains the responsibility ultimately of the municipality to deal with it. But as clearly they have not been able to deal with it, that is where we start. There are no specific issues around why anyone is not dealing with Machabeng as such. I think the Machabeng's issues are just complex issues, and there is a lot of legacy issues, complicated by the fact that some of the former MMs have passed away. So there's a certain limitations, obviously, that we need to deal with. I think there was a question about specifically the irregular appointment of the CFO. If you remember, there was a company involved, Consultants Latitude, and one of the directors of Latitude became the CFO and was later dismissed. The matter has been concluded in the Labour Appeals Court, and the award was in favour of the municipality. So that matter is now concluded. So Machabeng must proceed, and we've emphasised that with them. To normalise the situation, they must appoint a CFO. Yes, there is a number of compliance issues, as one of the members pointed out, that still needs to be looked at. And with regard to implementation, primarily we are focusing on the six focus areas: the supply chain management, quality of performance report, HR, the quality of financial statements, IT, and financial health. Although I must acknowledge that the area that is probably lacking the furthest behind would be the information technology controls. It is a similar situation like the financial management capacity in municipalities. You would have some municipalities that does not even have an IT technician, let alone an IT person who is able to run a financial system. And that is a specific area that we will have to probably design an intervention for. But in the bigger picture of the priorities and other more areas that we have probably made more progress in, we have not done much in the field of IT. So that is definitely something that we will be looking at. I think those were most of the issues.
Sorry, I was distracted.
I just wanted to get clarity from the MEC. If it's difficult now for them to deal with the issues of Machabin because of those reasons given of people having passed on and all those things, what will then be the purpose of this team that is going to investigate this irregular and wasteful? Because in any event, it's going to venture into the same period where people have died and all those things, which makes it difficult for you to act now. So what is the point then of investigating if you've already got business that makes it difficult for you to work on the basis of information that is there now arising from whatever investigation, be it forensic or audit or whatever? Why launch another investigation knowing very well that you are going to do nothing about it?
You may reply.
Well, I would hope that we haven't started this process so that we just end up doing nothing about it, because that's exactly the reverse of what the intention is. I think in the initial presentation I made it clear that the reports must go to council. And what can be condoned in terms of irregular and unauthorized, where value has been received, must certainly be condoned, and it must be written out of the books. When it comes to fruitless and wasteful, we still have to deal with those issues. Action will have to be taken where it can be taken. Obviously, in the case of a deceased person, unless you are prepared to go the route of putting in a claim against the deceased estate, there's not much else you can do. But ultimately, all other people who have been identified in these reports as having played one role or another in creating the situation, they have not all passed away. They are certainly traceable. And it is working together with the municipality that we will be dealing with those issues. Yes, it has been there for a long time, and there is a lack of progress. But a new process should have results.
And then we're going to, I'll tell you what's in my mind. Thank you to the two MECs. Honourable members,
we are running into a time crisis now. AG of the Free State, are you in a position now to make a remark on the Operation Gesella? In any case, we want the latest report on that program, please. Submit it to this committee as soon as possible.
Yes. Thanks, Chair. With your permission, Chair, can I get some time just to just follow up with the teams? And then, as I indicated earlier, the information that I can remember often now is the confirmation that we receive in writing from the provincial government indicating that it is totally a private fund. But I can go back and just check and come back with a complete report to the committee.
Can you do that before the end of business today? Because our meeting starts 9:30 tomorrow morning in V454 in this building.
Okay, we'll try to organize.
Thank you. I know you can. The AG can do that. National Treasury.
Thank you very much.
10 minutes.
Honorable Chairperson. I'll start with...
with the questions that you asked around the conditions that National Treasury set
so that they could conditionally review their decision to invoke Section 216, subsection 2 of the Constitution. If I'm not mistaken, there are about 8 conditions. In as far as the first condition, that of the municipality compiling annual financial statements that were long overdue, yes, the municipality has done well, but there are 2 statements for 2010-11 and I think 11-12 that are still outstanding. The problem with that particular exercise is that the municipality's budget and treasury office has no capacity whatsoever. So these statements are being compiled by consultants. Of course, consultants that are procured on behalf of the municipality by Free State Coctel and I suppose the Free State Provincial Treasury. Of course, we are worried that, you know, whatever progress that is made in that regard in terms of compiling and submitting annual financial statement may not be sustainable because there's no one to transfer the skill of compiling those annual financial statements to. The municipality, even up to date, does not have a permanent chief finance officer. We have tried to put pressure on the municipality. In fact, we've given them up to the end of this month to employ a chief finance officer so that they can release the gentleman that is there, who is from Coctel. You know, we'll have to wait and see whether they will meet that deadline. Of course, if they don't meet the deadline, maybe that will not in itself necessarily result in us deciding again to invoke Section 216, Subsection 2 of the, because there is progress that has been made, and we recognize that progress. It's just that we are worried that that progress may not be sustainable. And of course, there are other conditions. There's the condition that relates to the municipality having to repay all conditional grants that were utilized by the municipality to fund its day-to-day operations. The municipality has since given National Treasury a written undertaking that they will repay all the monies, all the conditional grants that they used for operational purposes. What we intend to do is that if they, you know, raise some of that money, we don't foresee a situation whereby they will be able to repay all the grants, but whatever little that they'll be able to, you know, put together and say, National Treasury, here is the money, we'll give them that money back to ensure that they go and do with that money what they were supposed to have done with it in the first place, you know, addressing whatever backlogs that they have over there. And then, of course, there's also another condition that relates to money that were paid to contractors for work that was abandoned, unfinished. We've asked the municipality to try and track those contractors and get that money back from them. Now, that is a big challenge on the part of the municipality, much as they are trying to do that. But there's no documentation whatsoever to say contractor A was paid so much, contractor B was paid so much. And these contractors, of course, some of them are no longer in existence. So, but this is something that they're still struggling with. We are supporting them in that regard. The provincial treasurer is supporting them in that regard. Free State Coctel is supporting them in that regard. We'll see where this will lead us to. Another condition has to do with the reviewing of the organogram of the municipality. Yes, the municipality has told us that it has reviewed. The deadline was 31st March 2013. They have met that deadline. We are told right now that the organogram is with council. We will be visiting the municipality sometime, you know, during the first half of June, and we'll want to see that organogram and, you know, discuss with the municipality how that organogram is going to be implemented. Because it's one thing to come up with an organogram that has been reviewed. It's another thing to implement it. You know, there are a lot of challenges that will be encountered in as far as implementing that organogram. And then, of course, there's also another sticky one. The KPMG report implicated a number of officials and councillors in fraud and corruption. So far, the municipality has successfully dealt with officials, but the councillors that are implicated in that report have not been dealt with, you know, except, you know, the speaker has been asked to repay 10,000 rand that she spent on alcohol, I don't know if for herself or her friends or what have you, but it was not for the municipality. And then there's the mayor that also, you know, spent some money on the construction of a wall. I think an undertaking has been made by that former mayor to repay that amount, but we feel that that's a slap on the wrist, whereas officials have gone to jail, but councillors are being dealt with lightly. So we've asked that the council cooperate with National Treasury in whatever investigation that the National Treasury may want to launch, you know, against those implicated in the KPMG report. Again, Council of Nala has given its undertaking that they will cooperate. So we that matter is now with the Office of the Accountant General in the National Treasury. There's a unit that is currently investigating that. That unit will come back to us and tell us, you know, whatever is it that they have found. But I must say that in as far as trying to meet all the conditions, the municipality is really doing its best, you know, despite all the capacity problems that, it is having. So rather than, you know, making sure that that particular municipality does not sink back to where it was, say, a year ago, we'll try and give it as much support as we can, you know. If we fail, of course, but I don't think we'll fail. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel that we will succeed. Together with COCTA, together with, I mean, Free State COCTA, together with Free State Provincial Treasury. Let me come back to the issue that was asked by Councillor Harris about the legality of the financial support that was provided to municipalities by Free State COCTA.
No, we don't have Councillor Harris here.
Councillor. Honourable Lees. Sorry.
Lees. You think of Mr. Tom Harrison in the Assembly. This is Mr. Lees.
Mr. Chairman, you're not doing me any favours. I was quite happy to be Harris. He's far more handsome than I.
Comment on that, please.
Honourable Councillor. Not Councillor. Why should I be? Honourable.
Don't feel intimidated. Don't.
Because I deal with councillors quite a lot. The legality of the financial support that's provided to municipalities by Free State COCTA, it is an issue that we raised with the municipality in August of 2011, just after we had met, that the committees had met with the municipality, the Free State in Bloemfontein. And we made it very, very clear that that support was illegal. And we motivated why in a three-page letter to the HOD of Free State COCTA, which we copied to the office of the Premier. Unfortunately, they came back and said, no, some of these municipalities that they are giving support to are municipalities that are really struggling with very little revenue base. But that stand, that did not change our stand. We reiterated that it was wrong for them. These municipalities are getting the grants. Most of them are grant dependent. You know, they are paying their equitable share. I mean, they are paying their salaries from the equitable share and so on. But we have detected that there are certain issues of a financial management nature that are not being addressed. And if those issues that can be addressed, you know, then there will be no need for Free State COCTA to be bailing out these municipalities. Unfortunately, Honourable Chani, not every assistance to this municipality has been stopped. We understand that there are municipalities that are still getting this. And then, of course, Honourable Mashide, provincial treasury officials accepted and supported in municipalities. Now, this is not coming from us. This is coming from provincial treasury. This is what they tell us. Now, the difference between the officials in the Free State provincial treasury and officials in other provincial treasuries is that the officials in the Free State provincial treasury are not office-bound. They are like field workers, and we are happy. They are out there all the time. You never find them in their offices. They are out there in municipalities trying to capacitate municipal officials. The third thing, they report to us that whenever they get to municipalities, your municipal managers, chief finance officers, and other Section 57 managers just do not have the time to sit down with them. So they only give them, you know, interns and very, very junior officials. And they find themselves having to waste the time, you know, capacitating very, very junior officials whose decision-making is not that strong, you know. You find a situation, for example, again, with Machabing.
In Machabeng, it is even worse because the chief finance officer, they can't even compile a budget. Mm. He's not even familiar with the new budget formats. And yet, this is the chief finance officer that they go to Machabeng to try and assist, and he gives them intents. You know. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
How the devil was he appointed?
By who?
And by who? Who took the decision? We are past the days of just make a general statement. Who appointed that person?
The chief finance officer there, Machabeng.
Yes.
I absolutely have no idea.
The deputy minister for Cocteau record in this committee regarding the competence and the qualifications of these officials. And this committee, our term runs out 2014. This committee will see to it until the end of our term in 2014 that these people are the competent people appointed. That you can take from us. And we are very serious about this because the president elaborated on this in the State of the Nation address. It was repeated by the Minister of Finance. It was repeated in Budget Council and agreed to by all MECs, because myself and Honorable Chani attend Budget Council. So this is a very serious matter. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, MEC.
Honorable Councillor, regarding issues in the Northwest,
Honorable,
in as far as issues in the Northwest, my colleague will respond to them here. I'm responsible for the Free State. He's responsible for the Northwest.
Can I just clarify the CFO situation in Machabeng? There is no CFO appointed. There is two people who are acting. They rotate. The one is a Mr. Albie de Bruin and the other one is a Ms. Lindsay Williams. The one acts for 3 months and then the other one acts for 3 months, and so it goes on and on. But there is no appointed CFO.
Yeah. Where's your gentleman? Can you do it in 5 minutes? Is it possible?
Very briefly, Honorable Chair. Just the support that our office provides municipalities in Northwest together with Provincial Treasury. We've had various sessions to help the municipalities, to capacitate the municipalities with the budget compilation and the reporting on Section 71. To date, we've had 4 sessions in conjunction with the Provincial Treasury in Northwest. We've gone down to specifically dealing with municipalities on a one-to-one basis to assist them on reporting. We've done this over a period from the 4th of February to the 15th of this year at our offices, where we took them through helping them provide credible information to our reporting system, and it was successful. The other sessions were dealing with the budget and reporting regulations, where we had sessions. We combined districts to get a smaller group in to capacitate them. So that is as far as the training and the support goes. In addition to that, on a yearly basis, our office, which is the Local Government Budget Analysis Unit of National Treasury, embarks on a benchmark exercise and a mid-year visit for the 17 municipalities. And I think the same thing is being replicated with the Provincial Treasury. They do the non-delegated municipalities in a similar way. And I think it's from the indication that we have, it's been very, very fruitful exercise. You want me to comment on the 10 municipalities that you had in question? Just briefly, 30 seconds on each one on the sustainability going forward.
Yes.
Just very quickly, Chair, looking at Mauritania, we find that at the end of the third quarter, this is a Section 71 report now, third quarter ending March of this year, we find that they have a surplus of 6.5 million. However, they also have creditors that they're owing in the region of 66 million. And that extends over 90 days. Capital grants given to them to date, 77 million, and the CAPEX expenditure is 62 million, which is 55% to date. And in our opinion, this is not a sustainable position to be in going forward. Simply because you have 6.5 million at the end, cash and cash equivalents at the end of the third quarter, but you owe 66 million to creditors. Kathleen Refuel, they've got a deficit of 5 million. Total creditors owing is 5 million, and 48% of that is over 90 days. Conditional grants given to them is 20 million to date, and expenditure, capex expenditure is 22 million. Debtors owing to them is 112 million. And here again, we find that this is not a sustainable position to be in. Again, simply because they have a deficit of 5 million plus creditors owing of 12 million gives you 17 million that they in deficit of. Mozu Kotane, they're in a very sustainable position, a surplus of 284 million, creditors owing 3.5 million. So they, I don't think they have a problem going forward. Swaying has a deficit of 5.1 million, creditors of 37 million that they owe. Couple grants paid to them to date is 7.5 million. Expenditure on capex is 17.5 million. No debtors recorded to date. And we don't find that, we find that this municipality is not in a sustainable position. Mafeking, they find themselves in a sustainable position, so I'm not going to elaborate on them. This is Botla, surplus of 3 million. Creditors to date, none were submitted to the database. And no investments to date. Debtors owing to them, 225 million, and we find that there may be a situation of non-sustainability with the Tsubotla. Mamusa has got a surplus of 27 million, but I think in Mamusa's situation, the information that they submitted is questionable because they don't provide. There's huge gaps in the reporting that makes us question their sustainability going forward. We don't have much information otherwise with Mamusa. Fentersdorp, surplus of 32 million, creditors owed 33 million. Capex to date is 31 million, sorry, capital grants to the municipality is 31 million, capex expenditure is 21 million. Debtors owing to him is 45 million, no investments, and we find that they're not in a sustainable position. Matlusana, surplus of 257 million, creditors owing 49 million, capital grants 124 million, 124 million to the municipality. And expenditure is 54 million, which is only 25% at the end of the third quarter. Debtors owing to them is 993 million. With the facts that I have in front of me, I have to say that they are sustainable. And lastly, Macquarie Hills, surplus of 41,000. Creditors owed is 44 million. Capital grants to the municipality is 33 million, and expenditure to date is 33 million on capex. There's no investments recorded. We find that they are not in a sustainable position. Now, the reason why I brought in capex, that we have to look at the municipalities that are not sustainable, whether the monies, the capital monies given to them have been properly used. And I say probably used for operational purposes. Mm-hmm. That is why I brought in the capex issue.
Other projects.
And yes, that's the end of the chair. Thank you.
Just the committee with a copy of that document, please.
I'll formally provide it to the committee. I've just scribbled
it. Thank you. National Copter.
I don't have additional comments to make, except that to concur that
actually the presentation by the MEC in the Northwest pointed to the critical issues which, based on our engagement with municipalities across all provinces, we have picked up some of those challenges so that in order to deal with most of the things which we call operational issues relating to municipalities, so the starting point is to have the institutional, the municipality as an institutional organization in terms of having permanent appointment of MMs and Section 57 managers in place. Because if you don't have that, it becomes clear that if you have acting positions, it doesn't assist in terms of the municipalities taking ownership. Then again, with respect to the Northwest, we have already, as COPTA, made an identification that in liaison with the province, we will have to deal with the issue of the utilization of the municipal infrastructure grant, taking into account some of the work which we have been doing with respect to some of the municipalities in some of the provinces in the last financial year, which just ended in March, and taking those lessons into account that actually you need the MMS, the municipal managers and CFOs, to they themselves to be involved in those engagements, because that is one way we have learned that is the best way to institutionalize some of the things to happen, but other than that, it doesn't help. Thanks.
Sir, what is your position in the department?
I'm the chief director responsible for intergovernmental fiscal relations. I should have stated that the leadership of the department, as you said, that there was another meeting relating to the select committee on COPTA, which is meeting, and hence they couldn't come here. But I will give them a briefing. Thanks.
In terms of Section 69 of the Constitution, we request National COPTA to submit to this committee a full report on their assistance in these two provinces with respect to these municipalities. Salga? Just after. Salga? Just go on air. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll talk on Salga Free State, if you allow me. Briefly, is that most of the issues as raised by the MECs, especially on report of COCTA, are efforts both of Salga and COCTA in the province. And I think what needs to happen moving forward is to coordinate efforts more to include all those processes as outlined by MEC Treasury. One needs to outline, Chair, about what the Chairperson raised earlier, to say we may want to align our programs such that we don't find ourselves duplicating each other's efforts and in the process spending a lot of resources mainly on a single program. So that's what is key. But I think we have a presentation that may, in most cases, represent what the MEC has presented in terms of support to municipalities by COCTA. It has an input of Salga in it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Salga, Northwest. Chair, I think the report made by the MEC, majority of the issues, we agree, but there's no cohesion on other issues, especially on the political level, because majority of those issues at technical level, they are meetings, which they are planned together, teamed together, but politically we are still lacking. I think we must improve that as a Salga in the Northwest. Because as my colleague said, is that there are programs which all of them are aiming in assisting municipality, but we sometimes not plan together. We implement there, and all of those programs are going to assist the municipality. I hope we'll be able to improve on those. For example, Salga, National Executive Committee has approved capacity building on MPEX, which is a program, it's a manual, which has been now approved, not only on MPEC, it's also on Section 57, which is going to be rolled out in the next financial year. It's been now approved by NEC. And SALGA, in most of this capacity building, we are not using a service provider outside. We use people within SALGA who got capacity to get practicalize this issue, because sometimes we go and appoint somebody going to theorize without not understanding local government itself. So those capacity buildings will be run internally by SALGA when it's rolled out in the next financial year. But what we are saying, Chair, is that in terms of the role SALGA is playing in the Northwest, is that also we are capacitating our municipality also to deal with Section 32 of the Municipal Finance Management Act, which is a problem that unauthorized expenditure, fruitless expenditure, and also submission of those statements. That is our role. Also, municipality not to copy best practices from each other, rather than reinvent the wheel, start from beginning and so on. There are best practices in other municipalities. We are encouraging municipality also to work together in order to improve that. But I hope Chair Ed SALGA will be, as I indicated, will be improving our communication at political level. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for those inputs. Also, Mashile, I noted your hand.
Yeah, Chairperson, it's not a lengthy thing. I just wanted to say that I think for the last few weeks, if not months, we have learned that that there is a tendency from COCTA, especially national, that it does, when invited here, doesn't come prepared. They come as if they are going on holidays, then they just come in to take notes, and then they are not prepared. And I think we just need to raise that they need to be very clear. If they are invited here and they know the subject matter to be debated here, then they must prepare as far as they know the issues to come and brief us, and so that we are clear that they are also on top and we know how much they know about the subject. Then we are able to even compare from provinces and then whether they're talking the same language. At the moment now, you can't even say. The statement that comes is, we agree with what the provinces have said. And that's it. But then there's nothing in writing that you can talk to. I think we must just simply make that call that COCTA needs... The late minister said that COCTA is going to be a choir conductor. Now, being a choir conductor is that they will be directing exactly what is happening in all areas where COCTA is supposed to be known. But then they come here, they are not prepared. You remember the other week, we had to actually even stop somebody from COCTA who just came and say, I'm coming to take notes, and that's it. And all what we can read is he's not coming to take notes. They're coming on holidays to the sea. Thanks, Chairperson.
I'll speak to our colleague Honorable Mahobi that we propose a joint meeting between finance and COCTA to listen to the presentation of the National Department of COCTA. So they will definitely get that opportunity to address the NCOP on their programs in terms of Section 154. Of the Constitution, assisting the local sphere of government, referring in this case to these provinces. Honourable members, we are coming to the end of a lengthy meeting. We must acknowledge that there are some progress in these provinces. See where we come from when we engaged with them the first time in 2010 and where we are today. The one is compliance with legislation, the other one is a political one. We're not going to entertain the political one here. That's for another room.
But there must be respect for the Constitution by mayors and whoever serves in that municipality. If we listen to the inputs made by the two MECs. Also the issue of attitude. What is my attitude towards my work? When councillors were inaugurated, they put up their right hand and say, so help me God, I will uphold the Constitution. I think they must do it every year to remind them of that. We will have to zoom in quarterly, and it's going to be very, very difficult to do it. But then at the provincial legislator level, the quarterly reports regarding local government, the status of municipalities and the progress made. So we will be calling back these provinces the end of September. If we don't find space, then it will be in the fourth term of 2013. But we will definitely call them back, as well as the Northern Cape. And if space allows us, the other provinces as well, the MECs for finance and the MECs for copper. Thank you very much for your contributions, honorable members of the committee, the MECs from their provinces, SALGA, departments. This meeting stands adjourned. We must run for the sitting that starts at 2 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Sorry for the confusion, ma'am. I have three devices to back up purposes.
Oh, okay.
To capture everything. Thank you.